Today we're going to begin our study on the spiritual gift of mercy and giving. We're going to begin with mercy. I'd like to begin this lesson by reading the definition that we have from John Maxwell. These are his words. Ability to feel sincere empathy and compassion in a way that results in practical relief for people's hurts, pain, and suffering. Well, as I mentioned to you, we've been shown mercy. God expects us to show mercy. And as I just said just a moment ago, but for the sake of the recording, I'll brief it. It's important that you don't see the call here to be merciful as an event, as a duty that you must do. No, it should come from a recognition of the mercy that you have been shown. And I can take you to Romans 12. Turn there with me. To Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Everybody should have a Bible and be turning to Romans 12. And if the kids on the front row don't have a Bible, please get one. And let's read that together. Romans chapter 12, beginning here in verse 1. Now, in recognition of the mercies of God, this is one of the very, very important scriptures, because it tells us that you're supposed to recognize your mercy that God has shown to you. The mercy that you have received should be a point of thanksgiving daily. It should be a point of remembrance always. Because if the light of the cross gets out of your radar, you have fallen. Thanksgiving for the cross of Christ should be on the tip of your tongue. Amen. On the front row real estate of your heart. And so here it is. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Okay, so in the NIV translations, I think it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, in recognition of the mercies of God. But here it says in the NKJ, in the New King James Version, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And the point here is the mercy that you've received is Christ died for your sins. And that Christ suffered for our sake. And Christ gave himself willingly unto death as an obedient son, so that the children of God would have a way to be reconciled back to God. And that those that put their trust in him, in other words, when I say trust in him, let me drill down on that just for a moment, because I think it's so critical that we as believers distinguish that what Christ did is all that God required. Let me say that again. What Christ did on the cross is all God required. And your recognition of the work of God through the crucifixion of Christ, the mercy of God shown to you through his crucifixion, and your acceptance of that truth, and your acceptance of the person of Christ, is receiving him. Now, I said receiving him with emphasis because of the truth in Romans, in St. John chapter 1 verse 12. Look there with me just for a moment, because I want you to see that until you truly understand what has been done for you, you will not show mercy in abundance, because you will not be able to recognize the truth of the mercy that's been shown to you. So here it is in St. John chapter 1 verses 12 and 13. It says here, he came to his own. I'm in St. John 1:11. It says he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. I said, I'm focusing on one word. What is that word? Receive. See, a gift can be presented, but the gift is of no effect to you until you receive it. Right? It's just a gift in someone's hand. And in this case, it's Christ. It's God has come to you. God came to Mary, right? And he overshadowed her, and she accepted the work and the calling and the privilege. Yes?
Jesus has come to you and has said to you, receive me. Believe ye therefore. Repent from your sins. And what did he say? And I will be with you always. Right? So, but you have to understand, Christ coming is the forerunner for Christ forgiving, and Christ forgiving is mercy displayed. Catch that? So you have to first receive him. You must first receive his truth. Then you must recognize that he gave so that you could receive forgiveness. You have to receive Christ before you receive forgiveness. You have to receive forgiveness before you can recognize mercy. And you must understand what you've been saved from before you will truly appreciate mercy. It is the wrath of God that Christ has rescued us from. It is the second death that Christ has delivered you from. When you catch that, and you receive him, and you understand that the full weight of your need for soul salvation was placed on him. And here's where the break point is. When your trust is rested on the complete work of Christ. In other words, the full weight of your need for soul salvation, when it's rested exclusively on the person of Christ, now you've received salvation. And until you land there and you worship him because of that, until you're there, you will not be so prone to show mercy. Jesus, other than that, is just another person. No, he's my Savior. Amen. He jerked me out of the second death. I was already there. I was there. Just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. Amen. One heartbeat, one breath. Just a matter of time, right? And who knows that day? So where I'm headed with this is mercy must come. Mercy in your life to another must come from the wellspring of you saying, that cross paid my debt. That Savior gave his life for my sake. And his work on the cross set me free from the wrath of God. And his love for me has delivered me from the second death. There's your wellspring. Out of that wellspring, you humble yourself before a mighty God and you say, Lord, I recognize that you did that for me. I recognize in the same way you came to Mary, you chose me. And I recognize that I'm in your house, that I'm your child, that I'm your daughter, I'm your son. And because you saved me, in recognition of the mercy of God, I offer my body as a living sacrifice as it is directly commanded in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And therefore, Lord, you use me to be an agent of mercy. See, you can say, oh, it's good to show mercy. No, you don't understand. You must understand the wellspring of mercy in recognition of the mercy that's been shown to you, so that you are not tight-fisted with men, nor are you stone-hearted in light of need. Amen. You want to get in trouble with God? You be tight-fisted and you be stone-hearted and you watch your wellspring dry up. The first sign of that is your thanksgiving will head out the door. You won't give thanks for your food. You won't be thankful for your health. You won't care about the things that are so freely offered to you. And my daughter just throttled me when she said, my daughter's never known hunger. By God's grace, she's never known hunger. Amen. But she said, Daddy, I am thankful for access to food. Blew me away. So what I'm saying is, saints, when you start talking about mercy, you've got to go deep. And you must reflect upon your mercy. Now, the next time you see someone that's away from the Lord and knee-deep in sin, you won't be so judgmental. Right. Or hard-headed or hard-hearted.
Let me tell you something. One of the things that I do in my Thanksgiving is we reflect on people that have sown into our lives that we appreciate. And one of the people that my wife chose was her pastor. My wife was one of the most arrogant, haughty, strong-headed, rebellious, and stubborn people in India. And she will tell you that with her own mouth. But a pastor seen into that. And he told her, you need to change. And God began to work on her. And he took what he had, and he prayed to God for her, and he trained her like a military soldier for 10 years in everyday ministry. And God broke her and kept breaking her and broke her some more and then crushed her to the point where nobody but God could help her before he entrusted her with full-time ministry. And I looked, because let me tell you something, encouragement from someone who cares about you will keep you going. I gave thanks for Mother Betty Hill. No matter where I was at in ministry or service, she would always say to me, you keep going. Don't you dare look back. It's going to be well with you. You keep serving. You keep giving. You keep preaching. You keep praying. It will go well with you. Keep going. Because I consulted her before I bought that building across the street. Her words to me, keep going. Keep going. The Lord is in this. Keep going. I'm saying to you, I recognize those that recognized where I needed to go, and they wouldn't leave me where I was. They kept pushing and poking and praying and correcting and rebuking and encouraging every time I would come in their presence. Now, my mother in the Lord has passed. She gave 55 consecutive years of full-time faithful service. She sowed into me. Her pastor has planted over 217 churches in the jungles of India. He sowed in her. I'm reaping the fruit of his ministry to her. You're reaping the fruit of Mother Hill's encouragement to me. You say, what does that have to do with mercy? Let me tell you something. If you're able to look at someone and see where they can go, not where they're currently at, you can show mercy to them by encouraging them and guiding them and pointing where they need to go. Because we've all made wrong choices. We've all got on the wrong roads, right? Amen. You don't leave someone on the wrong road. You take them by the hand, you get them out of the ditch and get them up on some sturdy ground and move them on, right? God is merciful, is my point. Can you recognize that? Can you see that? It's a lifestyle. It's not an event. So with that said, turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37. When you're talking about mercy, I'm sorry, Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37. I said it incorrectly. Here's my Luke 25. Here it is, Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37. Are you there with me? I'm going to begin here. In verse 21. Okay, we're going to read Luke chapter 10, verse 21 through 37. If you want to see one of the best passages of the Scripture to let you reflect on the heart of God the direction from the Lord, and the impact of mercy. This is a great passage to study. Beginning in verse 21 of Luke chapter 10, studying the gift of mercy and the lifestyle. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. I want to share with you that one thing you need in order to glean from the Holy Spirit is a childlike attitude toward God. And the scripture I'm referencing is Matthew 18:3. Unless you change and become like a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So, in essence, what I'm saying is, it says that, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent. Is it bad to be wise? No. Is it bad to be haughty before God? Yes. Why? Because it closes off the gleaning of the Spirit. Why? Because your pride is in your head knowledge. Or your loftiness is coming out of your pride in your learning. That's not where you need to go with the Lord. He's a leader. He doesn't need you to teach. He wants you to follow. Catch that? And that postures us in a state of humility. He's leading. That means you're not driving. And the response from us is a disciple is someone who's a disciplined follower. A disciplined follower. Catch it here. And the followers of Christ glean from the Holy Spirit. Here it is. It says, these things from the wise and prudent, you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And who the Father is except the and who the Father is except the Son. And the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Let me share with you that revelation from the Lord begins with you looking up and crying out. When you say, I want to know you. I want to walk with you. I want to be the conduit of mercy. I want to be that person that you give through. I want to be that distribution point for Jesus' sake. What does it do? It opens up the will of God for you. It opens up the divine appointments for you. It opens up the doors for you. That yearning to walk with him and to be used by him will guarantee he's going to reveal himself and his plans to you. Here's what I want you to catch. You have the revealed will in your hand. The perfect will come to the one who offers his body as a living sacrifice and yearns for that intimate step-by-step counsel. And the only way you're going to receive that is if you are childlike before God. Here it is in verse 23. He turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. Let me share with you that if you're open to being a conduit of mercy, if you were open to being the stream in which the loving kindness of God gives through, guess what? You will have divine appointments every day. God will set you up to put you in a position to show mercy. He will set you up to put you in a position to redirect and to pull that lost soul out of the ditch. Amen. You ask my wife, you travel with me for a week and let me land in a gas station with you. All I have to do is stand still. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. Here they come. Am I telling the truth? Why? God sends them to me. What do? I feed them. It's not Dayton proper. It's everywhere I go. He sends them to me. We go to the diner. We get coats. We get hot dogs. We get cokes. we redirect. For sure. Why? Because I'm praying that the Lord will let me show mercy and let me be a hand, an agent of redirection. Mm-hmm. Principle of redirection, parenting. It's parenting 101. It's redirect, redirect, redirect. Right? That's what we are. We're agents of redirection. Satan says, go ye therefore and bind yourself to the ditch. Jesus says, go ye therefore and pull yourself out. Hold my hand. I'll pull you out of the ditch. And I'll put you on the solid rock. Amen?
Amen.
See? So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying put yourself available to God to be an agent of mercy. Put yourself available to God to be a conduit of giving. Put yourself available to God to be the one that He uses to pull souls out of the ditch. You won't have to look for work. It'll come to you. Here it is in verse 23. He turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings had desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, catch it right here. So he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. Listen to what it said. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said to him, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. I've used this example. I call them the men of ice cubes. They're so cold. They had no recognition of need. You will not be able to show mercy unless you first recognize need. And you will not be able to show mercy, unless your heart is no longer an ice cube. Verse 32, likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. Ice cube number two. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. He set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will come again. I will repay you. So, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said, go and do likewise. It's one of the red parent goes. Go ye therefore into all the nations. Matthew 28:18-20. Luke chapter 10, verse 37. Go and do likewise. Direct command from the commander in chief. This is a non-negotiable. But I'm telling you, it'll be hard for us to walk in this if we don't live in the lifestyle of mercy. And you cannot get in the lifestyle of mercy unless you first recognize the mercy of God to your soul. The deliverance from the second death. The pardon from the wrath of God. The escape from the eternal lake of fire. You will not walk in mercy. No. Your heart will be like the first two that walked right across the need and bypassed it. Why? They weren't thankful. They didn't recognize the mercy had been shown to them. God wants you and I to walk in a lifestyle of mercy and to be the conduit of giving. Thanks for letting me share.